The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
While the games are winding down, they're getting wound up.
We talked about this a billion times. These guys are morons, all of them in that room.
He did a poor job this year because he wanted to showcase he could be a pocket passer.
Mike Carver.
Is this serious? Come on.
Joe Lisi.
Look him in his eye and tell him what he is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back. Hour number two. Carver and Lisi. Sans Lisi. Tonight. Get a just Carver. You also get Andrew Torres. Cast of thousands. Here on the grid. 844-843-6879 if you'd like to get involved. As the Rangers will go to Tampa down 3-2. They lose 3-1 at home at the Garden. I think, Andrew, as I'm thinking about it, the two things that really changed this series, and as usual, it's credit to John Cooper, who, despite winning the last two Stanley Cups, really never does get mentioned with, and Denny Bernstein was saying that to Pharrell today on Coast to Coast, that Cooper never gets really enough credit for the job that he's done in Tampa over the past couple of years. He made two changes, really, in this series, clearly. One of them was shutting down the Rangers 5-on-5. So that was the first thing that he did that really... The first two games, Rangers were all over the ice. They were especially 5-on-5. They were in the power play they were scoring. Found a way to shut down the Rangers, whether it was moving Cirelli around, doing things like that. They found a way to bottle up the Rangers. And the second thing was he figured out he just needs to get some traffic and put some bodies in front of Shesterkin and just throw pucks at the net from the blue line. Those are really the two things that have changed the series.
Yeah. I think it's like you saw a lot of that in game four, right? The Rangers couldn't get any consistent offense going because of the fact that the Lightning were in complete shutdown defense mode. And they didn't get an opportunity on the power play until late in the third period, and by that time, the game was over. Tonight was a little different. The Rangers were at home. They were riding the crowd. They had some momentum throughout most of the game, especially late in the third period. They just couldn't find a way to get it done. Had some close calls. But, you know, obviously the Rangers played a lot better today than they did in game four. It's just they couldn't finish the opportunities that they had. You know, the one goal that they were able to score was a fluke, and they had a couple of open nets, and they couldn't do anything with it. So I guess that's it. That is what it is.
Yep. They did change that winning goal to Palat, as I thought that they would do, because it did touch Palat in the leg as it was going through. So Sergachev only gets credit for the first goal. I don't know if you saw this, and I still have ESPN on, Andrew, from the game. Oklahoma beat Texas tonight to win the College World Series on the ladies' side, the softball Oklahoma just smoked them. I mean, they beat them up last night. It looks like it was a closer game tonight, but Oklahoma did win. This girl made a catch on Oklahoma, robbing a home run. I mean, one of the best catches you'll ever see in your life. I mean, what a play this girl made. It was early in the game. It was in like the first or second inning. It was one of the first highlights they showed. I mean, she literally jumped over the fence and took this thing back. You'll see it probably all day tomorrow. I mean, an unbelievable catch by this girl. Tremendous. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Carver and Lisi here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody in the mix with us here tonight. Several things we will do here in the last hour. The Red Sox have scored. They lead 1-0 in the fifth against the Angels. As finally, will we get another 1-0 game in that series? We've seen two of them the last three nights. How did the Red Sox score? Again, Bobby Dalbec. Last night he drove in the only run. Tonight a sac fly gives the Red Sox a 1-0 lead in the fifth as Ohtani is still on the mound for the Angels. Royals now lead the Orioles 5-7. Yankees still lead the Twins 10-7. They are going to the bottom of the ninth, last licks for Minnesota. As Buxton's up second, he's got a chance to hit his third homer of the night. If he so chooses, they'll have the top of the order, Aráez, Buxton, and Correa against the Yankees. So there you go with that. We have several things that we will discuss here in the final hour of Carver and Lisi. We will get you ready for the Celtics and the Warriors, Game 4, tomorrow night in Boston. Warriors have a lot of work to do. And man, they did a lot of crying last night after that game. A lot of crying. Never seen a team cry so much about the crowd and how vulgar they were. Please. I mean, just I've been rooting for the Warriors to win this thing. I almost don't want them to win after the crying that they did last night. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss the golf, where we gave you a 110-1 first-round leader last night here on Carver and Lisi. We sure did. Wyndham the Butler Clark, 110-1 first-round leader, a 63, 7-under-63 in the opening round today. He leads the RBC Canadian Open, and the LIV Golf Tour teed off today. A lot happened there, as we'll talk about the PGA Tour whacking the seven players, basically indefinite suspensions for all of those guys. And Charles Schwartzel with the lead there in London at the LIV Golf Tour. So a lot to do in the final hour. Carver and Lisi, sans Lisi. You get Carver, you get Andrew Torres, 844-843-6879 if you'd like to get involved as well. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just because they have kids doesn't mean they're going to like yours.
Come on! That's what happens when you play these games that are meaningless. Kids take off!
I'm kind of getting the feeling now that this dude still has a lot of growing up to do.
Get back to basics. Get off your ass. Stop with the videos with your wife. Focus and get your ass back on the field.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we are back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio. Only Carver's with you. Lisi's not in tonight. He's out on assignment. Sans Lisi. Andrew Torres hanging with me, of course, as he does with us every night. 844-843-6879 if you'd like to hang too. Everybody's making a big deal about this Tony La Russa thing today from earlier. By the way, Yankees one out away. Holmes is on the mound. 3-run lead for them in Minnesota. Buxton got out, so if you tried that 13-1 for him to hit three homers, you lose. 11-9, the Dodgers beat the White Sox today in Chicago. The talking point was an intentional walk that Tony La Russa gave to Trey Turner. And basically the situation was man on second. It was still a 7-5 game at the time, I believe. Dodgers had a 7-5 lead. Trey Turner at the plate, man on second. A 1-2 count to Turner. La Russa orders an intentional walk. So now two on. Max Muncy comes up, his first game back off the IL. And Muncy deposits it deep into the right field seats. Busted the game to 10-5. Finished after that. So, of course, everybody, like, what the hell was La Russa thinking? La Russa defended it afterwards. Let me find this dopey quote from him. Here's Turner's quote, which is great. I was just confused. I don't know if I should go to first or not, but I guess they liked the matchup. Muncy. At the moment, I was animated, and I'll just leave it at that. But at the same time, I don't know if walking someone with two strikes is ever the right move. Kind of gave me something I really haven't had a lot of this year. Muncy's been awful this year. And that woke him up today. He had a monster game today, his first game back off the IL. Where's the La Russa quote here? Here we go. Is there some question about whether that was a good move or not? Asked La Russa, 77-year-old Hall of Famer. Do you know what Turner hits against left-handed pitching with one or two strikes? Do you know what Muncy hits with two strikes against the left-handed pitcher? Is that really a question? We had an open base, and Muncy happened to be the guy behind him, and that's a better matchup. That wasn't a tough call. Tony, you had a 1-2 count on him. Then why didn't you walk him to begin with? So you're telling me you'd rather walk Trey Turner with two strikes on him than with none? Here's the problem with Tony, and we have a little fun with Tony every day on Coast to Coast. You know, almost every day. We play some kind of clip from Tony in the post game where we got no idea where he is. He could be up, down, left, right. We had no idea what Davis was doing. And he really showed it today. I don't know what he was doing walking Trey Turner. Andrew, why the hell would you walk? Would you ever intentionally walk somebody with a 1-2 count? Like, what? Would you pull that off, Andrew? Is that smart baseball? Would you? If your manager did that today, if the great Aaron Boone decided to walk somebody with a 1-2 count.
He said sarcastically.
How would that go in New York? How would that play out? And then he gives up a 3-run homer the next pitch.
He would be tarred and feathered.
I can't figure it out. And
I don't understand.
Like, there's like this fine line, too. It's like, well, you can't say anything bad about Tony because you know he's old. You know, we don't want to make fun of Tony because he's 77 years old. Well, look.
You can if he's making stupid mistakes like that.
He's managing in a major league dugout. So he gets the same criticism that everybody else gets. He did a bad job today. That's awful. You can't walk a guy with a 1-2 count. Go and strike the guy out. I want the pitcher's thoughts. Who was on the mound when that happened?
I know.
Who was pitching here? Can I just find that out? Who gave up the run here? Well, let me just double back here to the box score. The Muncy homer was in the sixth. Please tell me who gave up that homer for the White Sox. Let's look here. 4, 5, 6. It looks like, I mean, geez, did they give up any earned runs? Looks like it was either Sousa or Lopez. Whoever it was, Andrew, I don't care. I wonder what they thought about it. I mean, you can't go get the guy or the 1-2 count? Look, Tony's... And there's a lot... You know, I heard Dusty crying yesterday about Madden and Girardi getting fired. And listen, Madden and Girardi, they're younger than Tony La Russa. Oh, Otani with a 2-run homer, Andrew. How about that?
Oh, there you go.
Angels breaking take a 2-1 lead. There goes Otani.
Breaking it open.
They are breaking it open. So we'll see if they can hold on and not lose their 15th game in a row. Bottom line, Andrew, Tony La Russa shouldn't be managing. All right,
no.
Let's just call it like it is.
Yeah.
I listen to his post-game stuff every night because I'm just looking for things to play with Scott in the afternoon, you know, to have a laugh at. And almost every single day we find something.
Tony La Russa is one of those guys.
Look, I couldn't understand when they brought him in at the beginning of last year.
I still
can't figure it out. And today was just the cherry on top. I'm sorry. He cannot sit there. And then to sit there and defend it after the game.
I know.
Suck it up and say you made a mistake. He defends it afterwards. Well, you know what he hits with two strikes? He has two strikes! Go get him out.
You have two, and the thing is, it's like it's not even like, you know, oh, it was a full count or whatever and blah 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 and stuff like that. It was like you're ahead by like three pitches.
makes absolutely no sense. Tony La Russa. That just, I mean, the White Sox are having a rough year as it is, and a lot of that's due to injuries. It's not Tony's fault that half his guys got hurt.
Yeah.
But he's...
It doesn't help with making dumb decisions like that.
He's asleep at the wheel. A lot of nights out there. Especially in the postgame. Jeez. Yankees' 16th comeback win this year. That is the most in the majors.
Sure.
They take 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. Who do they got this weekend, Andrew? Who are the Yankees? Where are they going next? Where do they go after Minnesota? Or are they going home?
That's a good question.
Right now.
Cubs.
Yankees. Yes, Cubs at home this weekend.
That's exciting.
Man, they should pound the Cubs. The Cubs pitching is so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the Yankees should just be feasting on that Cub pitching over the weekend. That's probably the Sunday night game, too, right? They would love that.
No,
it's not.
And it's 1:30. It's a 1:35
first
pitch.
They're the Saturday night Fox game. Man, nobody would be watching that with Rangers Lightning on. But I thought for sure they love putting the Cubs and the Yankees when they only play every couple of years. That's usually an ESPN special for Sunday night. Instead,
well, aren't they
go Mets and Angels, and that's something else I want to talk about too after the break, Andrew.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw this. How about this clown Syndergaard?
Clown.
Did you see his act today?
No. Why?
Now,
what happened?
I'm guessing that Phil Nevin took the heat for it. Syndergaard was supposed to pitch against the Mets this weekend. Of course, that would be a very highly anticipated start considering how long he was with the Mets. Suddenly, Noah needs a couple extra days between starts and isn't going to pitch against the Mets this weekend. They're going to hold him off until Tuesday when they play whoever they play next. Asking it now, did Noah ask out? Because he's pitched out. He's pitched on regular rest all year. Why all of a sudden do we need a couple days? Just pitched one of his better games the other night, too. What did he pitch? Was that the 1-0 game on Monday? When did Noah pitch?
Was he that unhappy in New York that he wants to rub it in their face or just get in their grill any way that they possibly can?
He wants...
Is that a thing?
So Syndergaard pitched on Monday night, and he had 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 3 strikeouts. He's got a 3.69 on the year. So if he pitched in that game, he was supposed to pitch Saturday. Saturday would have been his next start. We'll talk about this more. Carver and Lisi, sans Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's no reserving judgment here. It's always rendered.
They got to add teams, Joe. That's it.
Carver, you're like the judge. You're like, that's it. Carver
that's
says
it.
We
got to ask.
We got to do it.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
You'd have a problem with that, Joe? You don't want that?
Nah, I don't want it. I like it as is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi. Sans Lisi tonight. Out on assignment. Carver with you. We have Andrew Torres as well. 844-843-6879. We always have Andrew Torres, by the way. Just so you know. Always here. Who's not happy tonight? Understandably so. His Rangers go to Tampa on Saturday night, down 3-2. Life on the line. Let me finish the Syndergaard thing, Andrew. So here we go. So he pitched on Monday. He was scheduled to face the Mets on Sunday, which not only would he be facing the Mets, that's the Sunday night game, Andrew. Angels-Mets from Anaheim. So that would have been a nationally televised game on ESPN with Syndergaard facing his old team for the first time. But it was announced on Thursday that he will not pitch in the game. Phil Nevin, who's the interim manager, shook up the Angels' pitching plans on Thursday, explaining that he wanted to give Syndergaard extra rest, moving his spot in the rotation back a couple of days from Sunday to Tuesday. He did not name a starter for Friday night's game of the series, but Michael Lorenzen and Patrick Sandoval have now been pushed back to Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Let's tell it like it is, Andrew. Syndergaard, who left the Mets on let's just say poor terms. Okay, not very good terms. He left the Mets on. Let's tell you what really happened. Syndergaard went to Nevin and said, I'm not pitching against them this weekend. Pitch me on Tuesday. All right. He'll never admit it. Whether he didn't want to deal with talking to the New York media, which is possible because if he's pitching, you know, he would have did some media availability. If he was pitching Sunday, he would have done some kind of media availability on Saturday. Usually the starting pitcher that, you know, talks the day before, whatever it is, that gets him out of that. So he'll sit in the dugout all weekend for Anaheim and not have to talk to anybody. That's now if he does go and talk to somebody at some point, maybe he will now because there's no pressure of him actually having to go on the field and face the Mets. I'm sure he'll go and he'll give his little smile and his laugh and make some jokes like he always does. But let's tell it like it is. He asked out. He said, I don't have the stones to go face my old team on national television on Sunday night. I'll see you guys on Tuesday when we play whoever. Who cares? You know, that's what he did.
Mm. Well, it kind of goes to show just how bad it was between him and the New York Mets. I think for whatever reason, and the thing was too, it's like I don't know what to say about the whole situation. It's just like he had the prospect and he had the ability and he had the talent to become one of the best pitchers in franchise history. Not just like of all time, like up there with like, you know, huge names like Tom Seaver and all that stuff. He couldn't stay healthy. And, you know, obviously the one thing that comes down to it is money and distribution and all that stuff of that. And it just ruined the whole narrative. And, you know, he wanted out and now it's clear not only does he didn't want to play for them anymore, he doesn't want anything to do with them, period.
That's such as Scotty likes to say on Coast to Coast, that guy's a D. I mean, you just got to be kidding me. I cannot believe he has not had extra rest all year. Could have easily started the game on Sunday. Didn't want to do it in the spotlight. Didn't want to risk getting racked by the Mets. So, wait, listen, it is what it is. That's Noah Syndergaard for you in a nutshell right there. Meanwhile, Ohtani is trying to literally single-handedly end the 14-game losing streak for the Angels. He has pitched pretty well tonight. He's given up one run through six innings. I think he's still pitching, Andrew. Let me just find that out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if Ohtani still has the ball here in the top of the sixth inning. And he does. He's got 5 2/3, only 77 pitches, so he should go a little bit longer. He's up to 4 Ks, by the way. So he's pitched into the sixth, only given up one run, and he has provided the two runs with a two-run homer in the fifth. So Ohtani trying to pull them out of the dregs that they have been in here the last 2 weeks. That is a long time to go. So think about this. They're 27-31 now. They've lost 14 games in a row. So they were 10 games over. They were 27-17, and they've lost 14 games in a row. Good for me. I got that under 84.5, Andrew. That helps the under 84.5. That's for sure. I hope they lose another 14 games in a row.
Ugh.
Also, that's the only live game going on, along with the Royals, who have a 7-5 lead on the Orioles. And in fact, that game is now over as well. That is a final at Kauffman in Kansas City. So the only live game on the board is the Angels and the Red Sox, unless, of course, you want to dabble in. Andrew, if I can get you interested in, hold on, let me bring up the line here. The Montreal Alouettes and the Calgary Stampeders, opening night of the CFL season, which I have just popped on here. 27-24, Calgary leads Montreal with 8:54 to go in the fourth quarter. So if you want to get involved in a little CFL, we got that for you. Live total 58. Yeah. Now, Joe's not here tonight. I feel like, should we try go the entire 2 hours without mentioning you know what? Since he's not here? Or do we, as a tribute to him not being here, do I say that there isn't even a game tomorrow? I can't even get into it. You know what? We're not bringing it up. We're going to let it, we're going to pass.
That's fine.
We're going to pass.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on it. I'm not even going to bring it up because I brought up the CFL, so that's enough. He'll be happy at least there was some kind of football talk tonight. I saw Brady talk today, too. Remember that story, Andrew, where they said that Brady was going to join the Dolphins and be a part owner, play quarterback for a year or two, and basically run the team. And basically everything that stopped it was the Flores lawsuit, threw it all in the blender. They couldn't do it after that.
Oh, gosh.
So that was the story 2 months, you know, whatever it was, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, that story came out. And that the reason why it all fell apart was the Flores stuff happened, and Miami couldn't. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't throw two away, bring Brady in, do all this stuff. So Brady spoke today for really the first time in a press conference setting because he's out at Bucks minicamp. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, he certainly didn't deny that was the scenario. He didn't deny it. He said, I listened to a lot of options about my football career or something like that. He never admitted that was what was going to happen, but he certainly didn't say that wasn't what was going to happen. So I think that there was a lot of truth to that story now, that Brady was going to bolt the Bucks or, you know, get out of the retirement, go and become a part owner with Stephen Ross or, you know, really small ownership of the Dolphins and play quarterback for them for a year or two. I think that was legitimately on the table. God, thank God. I didn't need him back in the AFC East. Thank God. Ugh.
That would not have been fun.
I don't need him around. But that's that. So there you go. Football show for Joe. We did get a couple things in there for him at the end. The golf today, and we'll come back. We'll get into the NBA game when we come back, final big segment of the show. RBC Canadian Open. Wyndham the Butler Clark with a 63 7 under is your leader after round one. He was in our 10-pack last night that we gave you for first-round leaders. 110-1 for Wyndham the Butler Clark to be the first-round leader. We hit that. Matthew Fitzpatrick's right behind him at 6-under. Harold Varner the third at 5-under along with the Gim Reaper, Dougie Gim. The little man Mackenzie Hughes and Rory McIlroy at 4-under along with Tony Finau. Didn't Joe say he was playing Tony Finau? Didn't I hear him say that last night? I think Finau. I'm pretty sure he said that. Finau 4-under, 3 off the pace. So he's in good shape. Mr. Burns is alive as well. Look, I'm going to readjust. I like to readjust for the weekend after tomorrow night. So tomorrow night with Joe, we'll find somewhere to go. But we had a very good day with the first-round leaders. Whenever you get 110-1 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hot with these first-round leaders, too, the last 5-6 weeks. I think that's my third or fourth one. In the last 5 or 6 weeks. So we're doing well with first-round leaders. Now, the other thing in golf today was clearly the PGA Tour suspending indefinitely the 17 guys who played in the LIV Tour, which teed off in London this morning. Phil shot 1-under. So did Dustin Johnson. Charles Schwartzel, the leader, at 5-under. But they told the 17 players who were part of the PGA Tour basically get lost. Your FedEx Cup points are gone. You're not playing anytime soon. Chopped, and these guys don't really care because they're going to make more money playing in these 8 LIV Tour events than they're going to make probably in the entire year of playing in the PGA Tour. So they don't really seem to care too much. You get $125K for coming in last, Andrew. The 48th place guy gets $125K.
That sounds pretty good to me.
So why don't you come in last in all 8 events? What are you taking home? Just about $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Almost $1 million? If we did the math really fast? Maybe 20K shy of $1 million or right on the $1 million number.
Yeah, right about there.
And these older guys that went over to do this, the Ian Poulters and the Lee Westwoods, etc., you know, they're not pulling in $1 million anymore on the PGA Tour unless they win a tournament. So good for them. A lot of money they're getting. I know there's a big moral issue with everybody, but, you know, money talks. That's where they're playing right now. They're playing golf, and the PGA Tour will adjust. They might be throwing these guys out the door now. They're not going to be that way forever. Eventually, more guys are going to go there, see the big money. PGA Tour is going to have to find some kind of partnership with them down the road, and they will. Might not be tomorrow, but 6 months, 18 months, 12 months down the road, they will. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just because they have kids doesn't mean they're going to like yours.
Come on! That's what happens when you play these games that are meaningless. Kids take off.
I'm kind of getting the feeling now that this dude still has a lot of growing up to do.
Get back to basics. Get off your ass. Stop with the videos with your wife. Focus and get your ass back on the field.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we are back. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sans Lisi. Just Carver. And also Andrew Torres. Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. And basically what I was saying there, but I kind of rushed that as we were going to the break. I do believe a day will come where the PGA Tour... they run golf. You know, it is what it is. They will eventually have to find a way to build a bridge with these guys. And it's not, like I said, it's not going to be anytime soon. It's going to be maybe a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is. Eventually they will. Because money talks. And right now, they got all the money. And the Masters is going to let these guys play. Majors are not controlled by the PGA Tour. Eventually, they're all going to, they're going to get their hand in the pocket as well. As holier than thou as they're playing it right now. They will. And trust me, the Masters, they're going to open the doors wide open. Augusta will be wide open for DJ and Phil Mickelson and Patrick Reed next spring. Wide open. We are here with you. Only one MLB game left. Angels lead the Red Sox 2-1. That's in the sixth. Ohtani doing it all. Two-run homer for him. He's pitching tonight, pitching well. And we'll see if he can finish off the job here and end the Angels' 14-game losing streak. So they have that going for them. The Rangers, of course, lost at home tonight to the Lightning, 3-1. Game 6, Saturday night in Tampa for the Lightning with a chance to go back to the Stanley Cup Final for the third straight year. And if they do... And I know Andrew doesn't want to hear about things for the Lightning after watching his team lose tonight, but bigger picture, if the Lightning are able to advance, beat the Rangers on Saturday, they will face the Avalanche in what would be a tremendous final when you think about the last 3 years in hockey. You have the team that everybody has thought is going to win and has been the favorites to win preseason seemingly every year in the Colorado Avalanche, against the team that actually has won, but when they've gotten to the final the last two times, and this is taking nothing away from them, I'm not trying to belittle them winning the cup the last 2 years or at all, but the best team on the other side never made it to the end the last 2 years when the Lightning have won. And last year they played Montreal, who had this ridiculous run out of the Canadian division when everything was all messed up last year with COVID. Montreal was so bad. I mean, they finished last in the league this year. They whacked them fairly quickly in five games. And the year before that, in the bubble, they beat Dallas, who upset Vegas and Colorado to get themselves into that slot. And then the Lightning overpowered them in the final. The Lightning have never played the best team on the other side. And they will do that this time if they get through. So Lightning and Avalanche would be an unbelievable series. But the Rangers still have life, and they will try to continue that on Saturday night, Andrew, where they are minus now plus 150, minus 182 for the Lightning. Is the already been hammered a little bit, the Lightning, who are, I think, 170, did I say before? I think I said 170 before. So just already on the move. Mm-hmm. Yes, just keeps moving. Ugh. They have the series locked, too. Oh, that's – well, they have Rangers in 7, plus 410. So that means they have the Rangers to win the series. It's plus 410, but I would just play that 16-1. Mm-hmm. That's where I would go right now. If any bet you want to make on the Rangers at this point is going to be that 16-1. And that way you have yourself a ticket if they do pull it off, as far as I'm concerned. So there's your hockey story, Andrew. Tomorrow night, I'm going to give you 24 hours to sit on it. I know you think the Rangers are going to win. I'm gonna give you 24 hours to.
I appreciate it.
Think about the blueprint or the plans of how they're going to actually get through it.
Mm-hmm.
As we normally do before the end of the show, let me run through some things for tomorrow. And I'll start, of course, with Game 4, NBA Finals tomorrow night in Boston, Warriors and Celtics. Right now, Celtics minus 4, totals 214. Celtics minus 168 money line, Warriors plus 142 money line. The fascinating thing about this series so far has been the fourth quarters for the Warriors. Now, the third quarters, really the second half has been fascinating because the Warriors have completely blitzed the Celtics in the third quarter in all three games. And in the fourth quarters, they have completely disappeared. Even the night that they blew them out, they didn't score a lot of points in the fourth quarter. Boston just had nothing in the tank to come back and get them in that game. Because that was the game, too, that the Warriors won. Warriors outscored them 35-14 in the third quarter. And then the Celtics outscored them 24-20 in the fourth. But the game was 107-88. The game was so out of hand after they outscored them by 21 in the third, there was nothing they could do. In the game one win that they had, Warriors outscored them 38-24 in the third. Warriors outscored them 40-16 in the fourth. And then, of course, as I talked with Joe last night, they scored 11 points in the fourth quarter last night. The Warriors have been awful in the fourth, but outstanding in the third. So the third quarter last night, they scored their 33, and they got themselves back in the game. But Celtics did score 25, so they were able to hold it there, and then they pulled it out in the fourth. But the 16 and the 11 points for me are very concerning in the two losses in the fourth for Golden State. And the other thing that's concerning to me, this has nothing to do with being on the court. Could they cry any more than they did last night about the crowd? Like, you got to be joking me. And it wasn't like one guy, like Clay did it. Kerr did it. Curry made a comment. Draymond made a comment. Everybody had something to say about the Boston crowd last night. Have you guys never played in Boston before? Or New York or Philadelphia? Like, seriously. All these years, six times in the finals over the last 8 years. You've never played in a hostile environment before? Well, the language, and there's kids in the crowd. Shut up. You guys sucked last night. You guys were awful. And I want to see the Warriors win. You think I want to see another team from Boston win a championship? Seriously, Andrew. You think anybody wants to see anybody from Boston win again?
No.
No. But, man, did they cry last night. Did you see all the crying, Andrew, this morning? When you were, did you see any of the postgame last night? Every single person from the Warriors who went up to that microphone after the game made a comment about the crowd.
First of all, how vulgar
they were.
It's the city of Boston. If you were a professional athlete and your team was coming into town and you didn't face some sort of horrendous words of criticism and everything like that, you would have thought that something was wrong with the crowd, right? Like,
right.
It's almost a given. I looked it up online. Torrey Hunter, right? He was an outfielder for the Twins and the Angels and the Tigers. Every single team that he signed a contract with, right? He started with the Twins, and then he went to Anaheim, and then Detroit, and then he went back to Minnesota. All the teams that he signed with, a clause was in his contract saying, "You will not trade me to the Boston Red Sox." And the reason was because of how horrible and the things that the fans and the people would say to him, whether it had to do with race or whether it had to do with whatever the insults were, and he did not want to play for that team. He did not want to represent that city because of how horrible the experiences of the things that people would say. So if that doesn't tell you enough about the city of Boston and how they treat their visiting teams, I don't know what does.
And look, I don't want to sit here and get on Boston. Like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not what I'm trying to even get at. There's morons in every city that you go into.
Of course,
every arena, in every sport, in every city, there are morons there.
Philadelphia is a city that comes to mind for that, too.
Of course. And look, you get it in New York also. There's morons at Yankee games and Met games and Jet and Giant games and Knick games.
Look at
morons at every game.
Look at how when the Knicks made the playoffs last year, look like all the stuff they were chanting at Trae Young the whole time.
Right.
Like, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's exactly the same thing.
And trust me, there are morons even out there at that wine and cheese crowd that they play in front of in San Francisco. All right. There's even morons in that building. Okay. Sure. For them, I don't know why that was their approach last night, but I thought it was really, really stupid. For them to sit there and complain about the crowd after they scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. They were more concerned about that, and then they all say, well, it didn't make a difference in the game. It didn't make a difference in the game. That's all you guys are talking about afterwards.
It did make a difference in the game.
So, look, I'm backing – look, despite all of this, I am backing the Warriors tomorrow night. I am going one last hurrah with them. They need to win. If they go down 3-1, they are not winning this series. Mm-hmm. I do believe, and I thought even before Game 3, I wasn't sure what the order would be of wins, but I thought the Warriors would split in Boston Games 3 and 4. And I'm staying with that. So the Warriors getting 4, forget that stuff. Every game has been a blowout. So playing points, just play the Warriors to win. I'm going to get silly with a bunch of stuff. Curry to hit 5 threes and the Warriors to win plus 280. Thompson 20 points, Warriors to win plus 275.
Mm-hmm.
We might even go a little deeper. Klay was hot. He was getting hot last night, and he's starting to hit threes. Klay 5 threes, Golden State to win plus 630. Could be on my card tomorrow night as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here, as I'm now going to chase, Andrew, all that money I didn't get by not or forgetting to play the Marcus Smart 20 points and Boston to win, which was plus 780 that I didn't play. Ooh. And ended up hitting. So I will now look to chase that tomorrow, Andrew. That's pretty much
what's your prediction? Like, how many games do you think it's going to be? At least 6.
Before the series, I said Warriors in 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm changing my tune to Warriors in 7.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Boston can absolutely win this series. I mean, they're the favorites right now.
Yeah.
Boston is, and I'm actually kind of surprised how big a favorite they are, up 2-1. It's minus 230. Boston's been the better team. Warriors have had it's like the Warriors don't play complete games, but they just have these little spurts of like 2 minutes where they blitz you with 12 points and that keeps them in these games, and that's what won them game 2 and got them back in game 3 before they folded in the fourth. I just don't see though. I think they'll win tomorrow night. I do. And they'll go back home 2-2. They'll be up 3-2. I believe they'll be up 3-2 going back to Boston with a chance to win, and Boston will probably force a game 7. That's kind of where I'm.
Well, that's kind of like the thing, too. Series. It's like the Celtics have played really well. Obviously, they had the comeback in game 1, played well in game 3. Jason Tatum he's arguably their best player, and he like in the first couple games, he was not good. As much.
No.
And now they're in a position to put a stranglehold on the series.
Brown's been really key to them. Smart was awesome last night. And Marcus and Robert Williams was really good last night as well. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's no reserving judgment here. It's always rendered.
They got to add teams, Joe. That's it.
Carver, you're like the judge. You're like, that's it. Carver
that's
says it.
They got to ask.
We got to do it.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
You'd have a problem with that, Joe? You don't want that?
Nah, I don't want it. I like it as is.
It's Carver and Lisi on Sports Grid Radio.
And we are back. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio. 844-843-6879. Angels now up 5-1, Andrew. Is tonight the night? They've only lost 14 games in a row. Could he get off the deck tonight? Very possible now.
Could be. The Angels have had the opposite effect, though. Like, the Phillies fired their manager and they've won 6 in a row. And, you know, it's just the opposite. A complete and total opposite for the Angels.
It's like,
it's like
our man Dave Sharapin always says, nobody knows Skadoosh. Nobody knows.
Very accurate statement.
You have no idea what's going to happen on a daily basis. And firing the manager, just like the Phillies have won 7 in a row. You think that's just because they fired Girardi? I mean, you know, guys are hitting. Look how many runs they've scored during this streak. 8 runs, 10 runs. Hey, I mean, there's suddenly everybody's hitting. So it's just kind of the way that it goes sometimes. All right, we will be back tomorrow night, Carver and Lisi, to get you ready for a big weekend. We will have NBA Finals Game 4 on. We will have a lot of late-night baseball, including the Dodgers and the Giants tomorrow night. Bueller and Junis. So Bueller looking to pitch a little better than he did against the Mets last weekend, that's for sure. So we've got baseball. We'll get you ready also for Rangers and Lightning Game 6 on Saturday night down in Tampa. I'm sure Joe will have some picks from that football league that he likes to talk about and a lot more. Great job tonight by Andrew Torres. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Cash some tickets and we'll see you tomorrow on the grid. Have a good night.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.